and see how I do with that 40-minute marker. So I know you're looking at me like that's probably impossible, but it may not be. Because I'll pick it up again here the next hour. So that's right. Amen. That's right. But the reason I want to teach you on this and kind of talk about this is because there has been so much preaching in churches today that have been basically geared towards the lost, that saved people, number one, they don't understand their responsibilities to God, for the most part. Number two, they don't know their privileges from God either. They don't have any idea what God has given them. They really don't understand it. Everything that you've been taught, or not everything you've been taught, but most of what has been taught today, most of what's been taught is that you and I, we're waiting for heaven. We're just waiting for heaven. And we're not. That's not the case. We're not waiting for heaven. We're living everlasting life now. Amen? We're living that eternal life now. And we've got to understand that there are duties and responsibilities for the Christian that God expects from him. And gifts that God has given us. I mean, we are privileged to be children of God as a blessing. It is a blessing to be children of God. It is a blessing to be able to know that by faith we've been saved and by grace that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And it doesn't stop there though. It doesn't. So many times it's all we hear about. It's that it stops there, and it doesn't. It doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Amen. There's more to this life than just being saved to heaven. I mean, there's to go to heaven or whatever but there's sins to be that are forgiven, and there's a new life that we've been given in Christ, and there's some covenant promises and some responsibilities and things like that we have that people they don't know about, they don't understand them. So we're going to look at that today. But also, the reason I'm doing this is because there's a problem in our conception sometimes. We look at the Bible and we see the goodness and the love of God and we think that that applies to everybody in the world. But it doesn't. It does not. And you're going to see that today when we look at this in Scripture, what the Bible says about us. Okay? And we're going to take that word us today, and we're going to look at that and who that us is and who he is talking to and go through there, or to us word, the Bible says as well. So we're going to look at some of those things because we seem to kind of lump everything together and make it all about everybody, and it's not. This book is written for the saved. It's written to bring men to repentance, but it's written to the saved. Amen? It's written as a book for you to live by and live in and follow. And it's complete. It's everything that you need. Because God promised it was. And He promised it would be sufficient. All sufficient. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that is the first appearance that Jesus Christ as God comes. And he is coming and he dwelt among us, John said. And we beheld his glory. We'll get to that in a little while here. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 15. And Jesus answering said to them, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Who's he talking to? John the Baptist. John the Baptist and him, he said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness. We must fulfill all righteousness. That's why this is coming to pass. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11. Turn there because we'll be there for just a few minutes there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11. This is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but I believe it's the disciples' prayer. I don't believe it's the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's the disciples' prayer. You can find the Lord's Prayer if you go in the book of John. You can find the Lord's Prayer. That is the Lord's Prayer. Okay, that is the high priestly prayer of our Lord for us. But this has been called the Lord's Prayer. It's really not. Okay? That's what they've titled it. However, it says here, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, lost people don't depend on their daily bread from God. They don't pray to God for that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to tell you something right now. There isn't anybody that understands forgiveness until they've been saved. They don't understand it. Believe me. I don't care how religious they are. They don't understand forgiveness. First of all, most people, it's sad to say that most people believe that someone can be forgiven without repenting. That's what's taught today. Well, God forgives everybody. No, He doesn't. You're supposed to forgive everybody. No, you're not. How can you? Jesus said if your brother trespasses against you, it's seven times he repents, then you forgive him. If he ain't come and ask you for forgiveness, then you forgive him. But not until he repents. You don't just, well, I'm just going to forgive you. How can you? He doesn't want it. How can you? Right? It's not possible. Jesus laid it out when people are to be forgiven. They have to come and ask for forgiveness. You know what's wrong? We don't hold people accountable for what they do anymore. So they get away with treating people like trash. And you just say, well, I'll just forgive them. No. You're not to hold bitterness against them. You're not to be angry with them. That's your part. That's what you have to do. But you can't forgive everybody I want to be nice to them, so I'll just forgive them. Well, they didn't ask for it. And they're not sorry for what they've done. They haven't turned from their wicked ways. I like what Lester Roloff said about it. He said, if I was with a preacher and he stole my wallet, he said, and he said he was sorry. That's wonderful that he said he was sorry. But if he didn't give me back my wallet, I wouldn't think he would have repented. Makes sense? Makes sense to me. Pretty simple, isn't it? Well, it's not really hard. It's really rather simple. All right, he says, and lead us not into temptation. Us, the children of God, lead us not into temptation. These are the disciples he's speaking to, okay? They're asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, so teach us to pray. So he's teaching them to pray. He's showing them what they ought to pray, a model to pray after, okay? Not necessarily that you're not repeating this, okay? He is giving them a model, okay? And he says here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see that this is a covenant. This is a covenant. Someone that has come into a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not someone that. It's not just any man on this earth. These are given to us. Now it'll get a lot more specific as we get rolling along here in a few minutes. But I'm just giving you some general things. Jesus' ministry was to come and to preach the truth and to call men to repentance. Okay, Luke chapter 11, he says here, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So he's talking about their debts and what they've done, or what they owe them and everything like that. That, you know, you go to that person, you know, you owe me a debt or whatever, and you're not to hold that against them. But they have to come and ask for forgiveness. These people have to want forgiveness. Jesus said later when Peter asked him, how many times do I forgive my brother? He said, well, if he comes to you seven times a day, you forgive him, you know. Seven times 70, you forgive him. Amen. Why? Well, that's the grace and mercy of God. But, you know, if they don't come to you and they don't want it, you can't give it to them. I mean, how can you? This is why so many people today get to live in their own filth and rottenness in churches. And nobody calls them to any repentance. This is why. This is the pattern today. Oh, just forgive everybody. Does God forgive everybody? Is everybody going to heaven? Is everybody going to heaven? Well, I thought God said to forgive everybody, though, didn't he? There's conditions to forgiveness. We don't like those words, do we? There are conditions to forgiveness. Okay? Luke chapter 17. Actually, Luke chapter 16. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that would come from thence. You know, this is a great message to us here. What is he saying here? He said, hey, the saved, you're here. There's a great gulf betwixt you and the lost world. And there ought to be that great gulf fixed there between you and that lost world. There ought to be. And there is in God's eyes. There is a great gulf fixed between the two. Amen. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Does God give mercy to people and does he give grace to people that don't want it? Does he save people who don't want to be saved? Does he forgive people that don't want to be forgiven? Is he wrong for not doing that? Or is he righteous? I really believe today that we are very ignorant of who God is. We're very ignorant of his righteousness and his holiness. I mean, sometimes in our minds, we make God this little fairy with wings that runs around waving his magic wand and granting every request we have. Amen! That's what we do today. There's a conception of God in our own mind, but it's not taken from the scriptures. We better take all truth from the scriptures. That's where we better, and understand who God is, and understand God has conditions for salvation. He has conditions for forgiveness. Amen? If my son kept doing evil, would I just forgive him and say, oh, you're forgiven? Or would I deal with him and correct him? And would he have to come to a position of repentance? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's very clear. You know, it's very clear when you understand it like that. But it also is very clear that God has made a difference here in us and the world. He has made a difference. Now, here's a man that's crying out for mercy to God. I'm just kind of setting that up a little bit, and then we'll get into in Romans, where we get into the doctrinal issues of us and understanding this, because that'll take a little bit of time there. All right, but Luke 19, verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, I'll make a very bold statement here that will upset many people, I'm sure. That is not the speech of a saved person. That is not the speech of a person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ or that would have him be Lord over them. How many people do we see today in that very position where they say, well, we want the Savior, but we don't want the Lord. I'm sorry, is there a way to get one without the other? There isn't, is there? There's no way to get Jesus as Savior and not get him as Lord. I don't find that anywhere in the Scriptures where that's even possible. How you can just take the Lordship of Christ away and say, I'll receive him as Savior, but not as Lord. How can you do that? He's all one. You can't do that. You can't split him up. You can't split the Godhead up. You can't take his sovereignty away. You can't take his what they're saying is that, you know, give me the mercy, but not the justice. Give me the mercy, but not the righteousness. That's the difference. And you can't have that. Acts chapter 1, verse number 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Talking about Judas. Judas came among them, but he wasn't of them. He was numbered with them, but he wasn't of them. There's another verse the Bible talks about that later on in the book of John we'll get to. 1 John. It says the same thing. Acts chapter 1, verse number 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They were witnesses, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? So one was going to come, one that was a witness of that was going to join them and be a part of them and be an apostle underneath them. Now, we'll get into the doctrine here. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 16. He's making a distinction in salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, how is Abraham the father of us all? Because of faith. Because Abraham was chosen because of faith. Faith. He's not the father of all. We don't have the bloodline of the Jewish descent. No. What is he? He's the father of all them that believe. What does that mean? That means that he was the one that was faithful. He was the one that was first. He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. Do you believe God? Do you believe him? Romans chapter 4, verse number 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. That's us. That's for us. If you're a child of God, you are in that us. You are part of that. You are a member of that. You are in that. You are in Christ. Amen. Abraham, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see that? Jesus. It does a man no good that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again if he doesn't believe on him. How can it do him any good? You're saying Jesus didn't die for my sins and I will not accept that atonement, that payment that was made. You are saying that. That is what a man says when he doesn't come to Christ. But the Bible says very clearly here that he was delivered for our offenses. Who's our? Paul is saying the believers. Our offenses, and raised again for our justification. That's not Calvinism, that's just Bible. We believe that the atonement is offered, it's also rejected. Amen. Romans chapter 5, turn there please, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Listen to this. We have access by faith. Do you understand that? That you have access to God by faith. You can come to the throne of God. You have that access to speak to him freely, to talk to him, to ask him, to plead with him, to pray to him. You have that access. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Amen. You going through some of that right now? That's what it does. It worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. Why experience hope? Because God brought you through it, and you have hope to go through the next challenge. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you're living a defeated life, it's because of your flesh. You better admit that plain and simple to God Almighty and get it right, because that's exactly what it is. Fleshly living brings defeat. Self-centered living brings defeat. Why? Because I am concentrated on myself and not on Christ. And you will continue to live a defeated, sad, depressed life. When you say, woe is me, life is so hard, this is so bad, I can't do this, I can't cope. You're right, you can't. Good thing you admitted it. Now go to Christ and say, Christ, live in me. Work in me because I can't do it. Don't you understand as a child of God, that is what God wants from you? He's bringing you to the end of yourself. How much more has to happen before you realize, I can't really do this. I can't really do this. Good. You're in a perfect place to depend on God. Perfect. And you're going to have to start doing something you've never done in your life, and that's depend on God. Amen. Yeah. But you know what? If you die to self, it'll be a lot quicker. If you just die daily like Paul did, it'll be a lot quicker. If you want to keep fighting God and living in that flesh, you'll get slayed one way or another if you're His. He'll slay the old flesh one way or another. Amen. Better thank God for it too. It's called His chastening. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Wow. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's why we can forbear one another. Amen? That kind of love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that kind of love helps us put up with each other. Amen? That helps us overlook some of our faults. Amen? Why? Because that's the love of God. Helps us look over each other's fault. Well, maybe I don't like this or that. Well, that's okay. I'm not going to concentrate on that. I'll just pray for you and let God deal with that. It works. Amen? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Amen. He sure did. Romans chapter, 5. Where am I at here? Hope maketh not ashamed. Romans chapter 5. Yep. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God. I like that phrase. We're going to talk about that sometime. I'm not ready to do that here today. I don't think we'll have enough time. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love, it was sending Christ. You have to receive that, or you reject the love of God that He's given, and the wrath of God abideth on you. Very simple, very plain. Do you think someone else in this world can walk through this world and receive the love of God as they spit on His dear Son? And the wrath of God will not be poured out upon them as they trample the blood of that precious one? Do you really think that God will not pour His wrath, seeing that He poured His wrath upon His only begotten Son? And He delivered Him up for us all? I don't know. What would you do? Think about it. Yeah. Amen. We'd all be dead. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, live any longer therein. How shall we, making a difference from them in the world, they went out from us. Difference. We and them, difference. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yeah, changed life. Wow, huh. By the way, that should is the same word that is in John 3:16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. The same word should. So if should in John 3:16 means something different, means might be or could be, might be saved, could be saved, we're in a little trouble, aren't we? So better make sure you use that word right. Don't change the meaning of it. Amen. Words mean something, don't they? So many of us as we're baptized, us, he's saying we were baptized into his death. Amen? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? I like this. This is the answer to the antinomian. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen. Romans chapter 8, please. Verse number 1 is a good verse here. Amen. Therefore is there now for no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he didn't come to take me to heaven? No, he came for sin. That's why he came. Because that's your problem and my problem. Sin. That's right. That's why what do you think it means to be reconciled? What do you think it means in the ministry of reconciliation? Your problem was is that you were not going to heaven. So I came so you could go to heaven. No, your problem was is that your punishment was hell and the wrath of God, but you were already dead. And the reason you were dead is because you're a sinner. And you're rotten to the core. And God said, the only way that I can reconcile this is to send my only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross and to shed his blood for your soul. And to raise him from the dead. Amen? That's the only way I could reconcile you. That's the only way that I could make it right. That's the only way that you and I could preach a ministry of reconciliation today. Is because we've been reconciled unto God. Why? Because for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He kept it there. He kept it in the flesh. See that? See how that works? Kept it there. that the law of righteousness, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Look at this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is he saying there? God's not done with the law. We're going to talk about that another week. God's not, for the Christian, God's, the law, you're not justified by the law. You're justified by Christ. But the law, you're not finished with the law of God. By the way, there's a difference in the law of God. When I say the law of God, I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the law of God. There's a difference. The law of God was written, it was 10 commandments that were written on stone. Amen? That's the law of God. Now, Moses and the ordinances and everything else that he was given was the law of Moses after the tabernacle that foreshadowed what? Christ. It foreshadowed Christ. So what did they believe in? They believed on the and sacrificed according to that tabernacle, which was what? A type and a shadow of Christ when he was to come. Of what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was their belief and faith, that God had provided a way. Amen? Make sense? See, no, they were justified by the law. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. The law brought them to the sacrifices. Why? Because they were guilty. And then Jesus came in Matthew chapter 5 and he said, hey, you got it all wrong. I don't know what you guys have been doing. Yeah, the law is pure. The law is right. The law is correct, but not what you're saying. And he laid it down and he showed him, hey, you can't obey it. You never have obeyed it. And no man has obeyed it but Jesus Christ. No man lives sinless but Jesus Christ. So he came, how? Sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God he did. Amen. You'd be in a lot of trouble if he didn't, friend. And so would they back at the tabernacle. They'd be in a lot of trouble too. So would them that awaited in paradise, waiting for the Lord to take them up and out, waiting for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and that blood to be shed. They didn't leave there. They had to have Jesus Christ's blood shed. You understand that, don't you? They were safe, but they weren't saved until that blood was shed. That's right. They were hanging on, waiting for Jesus to come. Waiting for Jesus to lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. Amen? That's what they were waiting for. All right. Let's see. Verse number 18 here. We'll keep moving. We're almost done with this section here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says here, if children, then heirs. He said, we're the children. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. You see that in verse number 16? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Have you had that? Have you had that happen? Does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit? When you open up God's Word, does He speak to you? I've never heard God's voice. I have. And it's very loud. And it speaks to you. Amen? My sheep know me. They follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. They hear His voice. How? In the Word. Amen? We don't need an audible voice. But I'll tell you what, when you read this book, God speaks to you. He talks to you. Amen? He says here, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the promise of God. Moving along here to Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You see that? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Amen. Thank God. That's God's work. That's God's work in you. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For the saints. For you. Do you see that? He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God the Spirit makes intercession for you. He doesn't make it for the lost. It's for the saved. There's a difference. The Apostle Paul is explaining the difference between the saved and the lost. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, a lot of people claim this, but they don't like to claim the rest of that chapter. It's a little confusing, isn't it? What does he talk about in this chapter? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then he goes on to say here, he talks about the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See that? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's the ministry of the Spirit. You see it? And he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession. So he's continuing to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? And we know that all things work together for good. So he's saying, you know what? And we know all these things. So now we know, because of all this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's you, if you're saved. Well, now that's only some of you. According to the antinomian brethren today, that's only some of you. That's not all of you. That's not all of us. Only some of us. Wait, no, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Wait a minute. Do you believe that God calls men to salvation? Well, absolutely, because if he didn't, you wouldn't want it. You don't believe that? Oh, that's Calvinism. No, it isn't. That's what he just said. I didn't say he forced anybody. Amen? So I get uncomfortable talking about it. Why? Listen, friend, if the Holy Ghost went in you getting saved, you didn't get saved. If God didn't convict your soul about your lost condition, you didn't get saved. Plain and simple. I don't care what all these preachers say today. That ain't what the Bible says, and that isn't what was preached before of old. But see, we've been so scared of Calvinism, so absolutely terrified of it, that we take away all of the glory of God in salvation and put it in the hands of sinful men and say, it's all about you, baby. It's all about you. You're the messenger. You're the man. Now give everybody a standing ovation when they come in the room. That's what it's about today. And God doesn't get any glory in that garbage, and is far away from that. Far away from it. And look at the fruit of it today. Look at the fruit of it today. Look at what's happened today. Because we've stopped glorifying God in salvation. It is about Christ. It's always been about Christ. It's never been about you. It's never been about me. We are just vessels used of God. And pitiful ones at that. Very clearly. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. What does that mean? They're justified in the sight of God's eyes. Now, all of this, understand, is according to God's foreknowledge, you know. So it's not that where the Calvinists come in is they say that, well, God just forces you to believe. God takes this big bat called irresistible grace and smacks you upside the head with it and forces you against your will to believe in him. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures, okay? But I do see God's calling. I do see that he said that the Father will draw them in. Remember that? Amen? So nobody comes in but by his Father drawing them. That's what he said. I believe that. And I can see the fruit of it when you try to call somebody and God does. I've seen that. I've been a product of that. I was a product of that. Amen? For many years. Somebody else called me. God did, and I wasn't saved at that point. Now God may have been working on my heart that whole time. I'm not saying that. I believe he was. I believe all through my rebellion and everything, God knew what was going to happen. Amen. That's the foreknowledge of God. That's not Calvinism. That's the foreknowledge of God. Why do we let people steal things from us from the Bible and let them claim it, and then we won't touch it? It's like this, the work of the Holy Ghost inside of it. That gift is to us. You think I'm going to let some foolish blabber-tongued Pentecostal steal the Holy Ghost from me and his work because they blab off their tongue and sound like a bunch of demon-possessed morons? Okay, you can have the Spirit's work. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to talk about it either because I'm afraid that somebody's going to call me a Pentecostal. I don't care what you call me. I stopped caring about that a long time ago. Amen. Who cares? Call me whatever you want to. I've been called a Calvinist, a work salvationist, and many things I can't mention. And you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care. Because just show me in here where God doesn't have that effectual calling, that God doesn't do that work. Friend, God was looking for you long before you were looking for him. Look at Adam. Amen? Where art thou, Adam? Amen? God calls men. Yeah, they have to listen. They have to respond. But God also, listen, God also knows who's going to respond. Oh, I'd like to think that God doesn't know that. Well, I'd like to think you're wrong. Because God knows everything. Yeah, he knows everything. He wasn't surprised when you got saved. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. That's not God. Amen? That's not, come on, folks. Come on. That's not God. Whoops, I didn't see where that one was coming. It's not like that Son of God movie where that Jesus is walking around surprised. Lazarus died? What? You kidding me? That's how the guy was looking in the movie, they said. What, are you kidding me? He died? Really? Well, that was going to happen. That's how his face was. That's how they're making it like God was surprised at something. Come on. Kidding. Understand who God is, okay? He's got foreknowledge. He knows who's going to be saved. Now, at the same time, you and I don't. That's why we don't pick and choose who we preach to, because we think that person can't be saved or that person can't be saved. That's not our territory. That's not our department. We're not called to be God. We're called to preach the word. Amen? So we go everywhere into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? We don't pick and choose who we preach to. We don't try to pick out who the elect are. We're not doing that. That's not our job to do. But God knows who they are. If he didn't, we'd all be in trouble. It's simple. It's not hard. And it's not Calvinism either. It's just Bible. But people are so shallow in their doctrine today, they don't understand that. Amen. I think it's simple. Don't you, Brother Russ? It's pretty simple. Amen. What shall we say then? What shall we then say, excuse me, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Good question. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you get it? Do you see? He gives us all things. That's what he said. Amen? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See that? God is the justifier. That's right. Say, it's my faith. No, your faith is a tool. All right? And by the way, you're saved by the faith of Christ. That's another message. But I did, didn't I? That's what you're saved by is the faith of Christ. Your little faith reaches out to Him and then His big faith. Amen. And that's how you're saved. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, then it all comes down to the fact that it's not about me at all. Yeah, you got it. That's right. It isn't. Then you'll stop doubting it all the time too when you figure out it's not about you at all. You'll start doubting whether God saved you when you figure out it's not about you at all. All I can do is look. That's all I can do. Look and live. That's it. Amen. Verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ, for you, right now, if you're a child of God, is interceding for you. God has not forgotten about you. Jesus Christ knows where you're at, what trial you're in, what you're going through, what your circumstances are, and He knows the end of the road, and you do not. So when you think that God made a mistake putting you someplace or in some position or in some job or in some situation in your life, or some overbearing boss or some overbearing work schedule or some overbearing preacher or some overbearing husband or any of those things, understand this one thing. God knows where you are. And He will intercede for you and intercedes for you. That's God's gift to us. Amen. Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors through Him. See that? Now you may be trying to get victory outside of Him. You're never going to get it. Not going to happen. Victory is found in Christ. Amen? Victory is found in living in Christ. Victory is found, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nor height, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In all these things, in all what things? Well, look at verse number 35. We're finished here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Whatever trial you're going through, whatever situation you're in right now, doesn't matter what it is, we are more than conquerors. Amen? If we walk in the Spirit. But if you choose to walk in the flesh and try to do it by your own strength, your own tenacity, your own education, your own pride, you will fall. You will fail and you will fall and you will bring many sorrowing tears to your eyes. But we've been promised the victory. It's been given to us. We'll continue this the next hour. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for the sacrifice for us. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit for us and in us. Thank you for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.